Welcome. This is Will Doggett, K3SRF, leading the first element of a five-part program about the role, functions, and skills needed for amateur operators in the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. This program is adapted from material developed by Virginia Racy's and is copyrighted. On slide two, we talk about the objectives. After this training, you will understand the difference between Racy's and other amateur radio emergency communications, which we refer to collectively as MCOM. Non-governmental organizations doing public service use amateurs from non-Racy's groups. Some hams have dual membership, but we must understand that the Office of Emergency Management determines the assignment of limited resources, such as amateur radio, to ensure that public safety needs are met first. Radio volunteers using county equipment or operating at county sites must be Racy's trained. Registration with the Arlington Office of Emergency Management is required under the Racy's regulations. Local background checks are authorized, and we use them in Arlington. We will also talk about which emergency support functions are served by Racy's and by other MCON groups. What is Arlington Racy's? Slide 3. Arlington Racy's consists of eligible volunteers who have a valid FCC amateur radio operator license and who have registered with the Office of Emergency Management. When a local or regional state of emergency has occurred or may be imminent, the Director of Emergency Management or his designee may request the Racy's radio officer to deploy Racy's assets to provide immediate communication aid in response to the impending crisis. Racy's started as a civil defense program after World War II. With the adoption of the all-hazards concept of integrated emergency management, Racy's was turned over to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, which is now part of the Department of Homeland Security. The Racy's mission is to provide communications in support of public safety during the response to a disaster. One resource is FEMA's Civil Preparedness Guide 1-15. That's the current reference for local emergency managers to help incorporate Racy's into their local emergency plans to assist public safety agencies. The Civil Preparedness Guide is somewhat dated, but it's the best we have until DHS comes up with a new structure. This 9-page booklet is available online at the FEMA.gov website as part of their library. Slide 5 shows the mission statement for Arlington Racy's. And this is what we've been doing during the first year of operation of Arlington Racy's. We've established the organization and leadership, and the first group of hams have completed this basic operator's course. So as you can see from the mission statement, we're part of the Emergency Support Function Number 2, ESF2, Communications, for Arlington and possibly to provide mutual aid for other localities if needed. Slide 6 shows the requirements for participation. Number 1 is a successful background check, which is done by the Sheriff's Office in Arlington. Complete this 5-part basic operator training. Show that you have the proper equipment and you know how to use it. Participate in drills, events, nets, and incidents, and work on continuing education courses and exercises, including some of the FEMA courses. Slide 7 shows a guideline about the minimum equipment recommendations. What we use most is 2-meter FM, so you want a reliable, rugged, and simple-to-use rig. The operating control should be intuitive or at least easy to learn. It needs to be capable of operating from an external battery, ideally, and have a low-power option to be able to conserve the battery. And it would be good if it had a capability of 25 watts or more for simplex. The rigs that we use should be frequency agile, to be able to change frequencies and program them with 10 or more memories in the field. Obviously, we need to be able to use PL subaudible code, and also to have a separate 440 megahertz UHF radio is handy, because in crowded urban areas such as Arlington, there are several good wide area linked repeaters which use UHF. The UHF gets in and out of buildings better than VHF and is less affected by pager intermodulation. In a perfect world, every ham would have at least appliance user knowledge of packet radio to be able to set up, connect to a bulletin board, keyboard a formal message and send it. If you have a general or extra license, please develop HF capability and get experience operating at home or portable or mobile on 75, 60, and 40 meters. On slide 8, we talk about why you must register. Registration with the local civil defense organization, which in Arlington is the OEM, Office of Emergency Management, is required under the FCC regulations, Part 97. Localities are authorized to conduct background checks, and we do so in Arlington as a matter of policy. But you don't have to worry about the personal information, because that information is only accessible to the Chief Information Security Officer and the Sheriff's deputies who administer the background check program. Registration is necessary because state and federal laws can give you liability protection, but there's no protection unless you're formally registered. By registering and participating in Arlington RACES, you get support and you get protection. The RACES radio officer and other appointed leaders are responsible to know your abilities, skills, and any physical or other limitations. This is necessary to ensure that you receive an assignment that's suitable for your equipment, experience, and abilities, and to enable you to do your best and ensure a safe working environment. Your field team leader needs to know who you are and what you can do in order to make safe, suitable assignments. If someone who's assigned but is not registered and they're injured, it could create liability for the organization using the volunteer or for the radio officer. So by being registered and aware of and following county policies, plans, and procedures, that protects everyone. On page 10, we talk about slide 10, a reasonable action. And that's a legal term. It means actions conducted in accordance with the plans, policies, procedures, and directions of the Arlington County RACES leadership. On slide 10, we talk about a legal term, reasonable. And in this case, reasonable means actions by the radio volunteers in accordance with plans, procedures, and directions of the Arlington County RACES leadership, and by following established policies, procedures, and instructions. We're all reading from the same sheet of music, and that protects everyone. On slide 11, the RACES volunteer responsibilities. Volunteers need to be dependable with leaders and co-workers and give their effort just as if they were a paid worker. We want to hear what they've got to say when we need constructive suggestions, but also to know when to keep quiet and just to do their job. Emergency managers want competent volunteers who can be counted on, even if the task isn't the most glamorous or exciting one. For example, in the event of a tornado or hurricane, there'll be a lot of trees down. The people that cut the trees and clear streets in Arlington is the Parks Department forestry team. That may not be the most glamorous thing, but that's going to be the job that needs to get done. And if we need communication, RACES volunteers could be providing it. Most of all, be polite, cooperative, responsible, and professional. And in return, the volunteers receive some things. On slide 12, we talk about the Volunteer Bill of Rights. The volunteer is treated as a co-worker. We provide a safe working environment, a suitable assignment, and the volunteer has a right to know as much as possible about people, policies, procedures, and what's going on, with a few exceptions. Obviously, if we're talking about law enforcement action, there's going to be some limits. And if we're talking about people's personal medical information, likewise, there's going to be limits on what information is shared. But otherwise, we'll try to keep the volunteers informed. They'll be heard. They'll be taking a part in the planning as well as in the debriefing when the operation is over. And we need to provide recognition and rewards for volunteers. We do that. On slide 13, self-control is the key word. It's good to keep in mind that our primary job is communication on behalf of the public service agencies. We have several slides on this subject because we're emphasizing the positive, but we all know about situations where a ham has made life difficult for himself and others by carrying on about how much he knows or what authority he has or how up-to-date his equipment is. We need to keep the ego tuned to the mission frequency. The managers of agencies we serve need to trust us to be competent at communications and to know when to keep our mouth shut. So that trust is a key thing. If somebody makes life difficult, The served agency managers are going to remember that for a long time. So it's important that the HAM, the radio volunteers, keep in mind that they're valuable communication assets, but otherwise they are ordinary citizens with no special privileges. On slide 14, we talk about what we can do and what we can't do. If there's a fire, emergency, or public safety situation, call 911 in Arlington and most other communities. Firefighting, law enforcement, and emergency management are handled by professional trained staff. In most cases, your role is to notify the authorities to dispatch professionals who are trained and equipped to handle it. CERT team members, that we're talking about the community emergency response teams, may respond to the extent that they are trained. So if they're trained in first aid, they can provide first aid. And so again, their acts would be considered reasonable if they're doing the actions that they're trained and qualified to do. If you're the only person on the scene, describes the situation on slide 15, do assist to the extent that you're capable and trained without putting yourself in danger. But again, the first step is often to call 911 or use any available means to get emergency help. On slide 16, a couple of definitions. What's an event as compared with an incident? An event is a planned non-emergency activity, such as a training exercise or a public service program. An incident is any planned or unplanned occurrence, regardless of cause, which requires action by primary response agencies, like the fire department or the police, to prevent or minimize loss of life or damage to property or natural resources. So an event could be a marathon, but if one of the runners passes out or requires medical attention, that's an incident. One of the things that's important to keep in mind on the radio when we're practicing, if something sounds like it might be an incident on the radio, but it's just a drill, we should say, this is the Arlington County Racies Net in exercise, or this is a drill. But if something comes up that we require real emergency response, then we should say, this is not a drill. Planned events are often run under the Incident Command System, ICS, and may have incident names on the forms that we're filling out, but they're actually events in the training program because they're pre-scheduled. On slide 17, we're talking about government agencies and NGO, non-governmental organizations. And they want emergency communication radio operators who are trained, knowledgeable, and active. That's why we have ongoing training for RACES. We want people who are disciplined, which means self-disciplined, and who can work as a team, follow instructions, and are resourceful. So we expect and insist that RACES members follow our policy and procedures. Every member is part of a team, follows a plan. You may have been an extra ham for 20 years, have worked DXCC on all the bands, but if you don't know how to send a message handed to you by an official written on the ICS 213 form during an emergency, by then it's a bit late to learn. So after a disaster, many amateurs who have been active will want to help, but we need people who are registered and who have maintained their skills. That's why we train. In a real incident, an inactive, unprepared ham is a liability. We're not looking for somebody that wants to exercise their ego, show what a big shot they are. That's not what we need. We want somebody who knows that communication is our mission and that they're going to get the job done. It's not going to be a liability issue. Someday you may be needed to run a net from home or to operate from your car to help search for a lost child or an elderly Alzheimer's patient, to report a fire or auto accident, or stand a fire watch when the phones are out. So those are the things that we train for, and then when we're needed, we'll be available. RACES personnel may also participate in training and drills with other organizations, such as airport authorities, EMS councils, CERT teams. One thing we may want to learn is to be able to conduct damage assessment and coordinate debris clearance after a severe weather event, for example, using county, Virginia Department of Transportation, VDOT, and private contractors. They may have different incompatible radio systems, so we could help coordinate the communication. On slide 19, NGOs, those are non-governmental organizations like the Red Cross, Salvation Army, hospitals, other charitable and relief agencies. Usually non-racies ham assets are responsible for most of their communication support. But in some cases, we could be asked to provide some help for them. For example, if a local hospital's PBX phone system fails, non-racies emergency communicators can respond and provide essential radio communication within the hospital. Amateurs around key locations within the hospital could assist the staff in dispatching and routing. But that doesn't require intervention by civil defense or activation of RACES because it doesn't involve government services or affect overall community welfare. So when there's no declaration of a local emergency, amateur radio organized for MCOM other than RACES can operate and serve. MCOM operators can initiate nets and auxiliary communication ahead of formal RACES activation and can continue to provide relief, health, and welfare communications after formal RACES operations conclude. Okay, what is our overall plan? On slide 20, the plan overview. Arlington RACES is headed by the radio officer. It represents emergency management. In the written emergency plan, ESF2 communications includes the RACES program. The RACES radio officer is our primary liaison with served agencies, CERT, hospitals, and so forth. He's also the one that leads RACES member recruitment and training. The needs of private organizations who ask for amateur radio support must be integrated within the overall communications plan because we have limited ham radio resources and we may need them for more urgent public safety needs. Emergency managers need to know what those needs are so they can prioritize. And radio officers need to know what our knowledge, skill, equipment, and abilities are so that they can put us to work to make suitable assignments and then be able to activate, execute our plan effectively when we are activated. On slide 21, ESF2. Here's one of two slides directly from the Arlington Emergency Operations Plan. ESF2 communications, it says it's possible for neighborhoods within Arlington County to be isolated from communications for extended periods of time. CERT team and neighborhood watch, supported by amateur radio communications, are important volunteer resources. And on slide 22, the Emergency Operations Center may authorize the operation of an amateur radio station during periods of activation. And in fact, Arlington County has amateur radio equipment pre-positioned in several areas to be ready to activate. We have multi-frequency radios for handheld and vehicle use. We have portable use, even through satellites. We have base stations, and we're looking to use more technology in the future, including global positioning system, possibly slow scan television, or still imagery for transmit by packet, like for damage assessment. So we'll continue to do that. Already in Arlington County, we have GPS global positioning information that we use for infrastructure, just street lights, fire hydrants, and stuff like that. And we may be able to tie into that in the future. Another ESF, emergency support function, is ESF6, mass care. The Red Cross may be providing emergency shelter, such as in school buildings, but the shelters may have message centers to identify who's there and to let them be in touch with their relatives, to be able to send health and welfare messages and provide logistical support. Those are typically handled by non-governmental organizations, but RACES may assist emergency management by providing resource support in case of a local disaster declaration. Packet networks would be particularly useful to protect sensitive information contained in shelter logs, local situation reports, evacuation lists, and any other information which should not be transmitted in the clear for anyone to hear on a scanner. Slide 24, what are the AROs? The assistant radio officers are help to the radio officer. During an activation, the RO will be busy, can't coordinate everything. Assistant radio officers are alternate points of contact for each served agencies and to provide rotating command shifts. When activated, more assistants are needed as field team leaders and to fill the various incident command system functions. This enables the radio officer to maintain a manageable span of control to ensure operator safety and accountability. Some examples on slide 25, support functions like planning, logistics, safety and training, and technical resources like instructors, repeater control operators, packet system operators, and so forth. Okay, now some key points starting on slide 26. Contacting served agencies, both Arlington government agencies and non-governmental organizations. Emergency managers and the heads of served agencies want a single point of contact, the RACES radio officer. Team members, even team leaders, should not contact a served agency unless they're specifically instructed to do so by the radio officer. It's vital that every RACES member understand that so that there's no confusion. When the radio officer says we're activated and we're in touch, then we are. In the meantime, we'll wait for that instruction. The RACES alerting mechanism is the primary means of notification, Arlington Alert Network. A phone tree exists as a backup. RACES members need to know ahead of time who their fellow team members are, who their field team leader is, and how to contact everyone on the team. So it's important that you make sure that your registration, especially with the Arlington Alert Network, is accurate and current with both your home and work's telephone numbers, cell phone, as well as your primary email, and possibly other emails or other phone numbers, especially cell phones capable of receiving SMS text. The Arlington Alert Plan is tested quarterly, and we use it every week as a notification of the Wednesday night net. Slide 28, when is RACES activated? Every RACES operator needs to know, when is RACES activated and for what reasons? And what are the different activation levels? What do they mean? And what's the action for individuals and leadership? What's appropriate for each level? Who activates RACES? The Arlington Office of Emergency Management. There's three levels. We're now on slide 29. Level one is notification. It's advance notice to escalate up from routine daily preparedness. It ensures awareness of the changing situation. So level one is just a heads up. Level two is standby or preparation for mobilization, progressing towards readiness, and then to be ready for level three, which is deployment. Executing the mobilization, continuing to serve the Office of Emergency Management or other assigned agencies, continuing until demobilization and debriefing, according to the plan. Just like in the incident command system, because that's what it is. So on slide 30, level one is notification. The OEM notifies the radio officer of conditions which may require RACES assistance. So there could be severe weather events on the way. We could expect some damage to communication infrastructure, so we may need RACES. So level one notification is not a general call-up. It requires no action by individuals except to just say something may be coming, let's make sure the batteries are charged, our supplies are ready, and so forth. But it is a heads up to team leaders to see if they're ready, if their equipment is ready, and their personnel are ready. Level two is standby. That means the RO is advised that communication help will likely be required. So we alert team leaders, support station operators, and prepare. If escalation is likely, we want to notify teams and be ready to jumpstart preparations for deployment. So again, it's not authorization to deploy, but it's an advisory to be ready. Level two is a standby for team leaders and operators to monitor designated repeaters, make sure their go kits are ready, batteries, food, water, clothing, and so forth. If you've already well prepared your family, and you have a family disaster plan, which we will discuss more in Unit 5, this should be a routine checkup of the preparedness status. On slide 33, level 3, deployment. The radio officer is notified by the OEM that immediate assistance is now required. And so this is a general call-up. Assigned members are authorized to deploy if they've already got an approved operational plan. Other RACES volunteers in the activation area should monitor designated repeaters. We'll talk about that some more in a few minutes, for assistance requests and official notifications. So this means the event has either happened or will happen imminently, and we activate the plan. On slide 34, the assistant radio officer for operations activates net controls. Activate the operations and a logistics net. Determine how many operators are available, where they are, what equipment they have. Assign the communications work as it comes and get things moving. Other operators available for assignment should check into the logistics net and wait until called, using their time to rest and prepare to relieve operators who may have been on duty while you were asleep. So obviously right away everybody wants to get into the action, but after 12 or 24 hours, some operators who've had a good night's sleep are going to be real valuable. On slide 35, remember your job is communications. That's your primary assignment, but radio operators are often pretty talented folks, so people want to call on them for other duties, like assisting in searches, staffing, troubleshooting equipment, answering the phones, typing in data. All those things are fine as long as they do not jeopardize the primary communication mission. Maintaining a listening watch on slide 36. Listening protocols enhance the reliability of distress communications on ham radio, similar to guarding marine VHF channel 16 by commercial vessels and pleasure boaters. The Wilderness Protocol was established by the ARRL for use by those outside reliable repeater coverage. The Suburban Protocol, recommended by Arlington RACES, adds designated repeaters to the program memory scan and enhances readiness. And we'll talk about how this works. Here's the Suburban Protocol. Monitor the national simplex frequency, 146.52, plus the Arlington RACES repeater, 146.625, the RACES ARES common statewide frequency, the primary simplex, and the secondary simplex frequency. All of these are on the COM plan, ICS 305, on the W4 Alpha Victor Alpha.org website. So when you're talking about programming your rig to get these frequencies in there, the current COM plan is the best resource to show you what frequencies and where you need a PL, how to program those in. Most amateur rigs today have enough program memory and scanning abilities so you can monitor those repeaters, simplex, national and local frequencies all at the same time. The Suburban Protocol, you can practice that by just taking a roll call. See who's monitoring that frequency, get the date, time, frequency, and so forth, and communicate that to the radio officer during the next net. So it's a way to encourage listening and see who's available. The Wilderness Protocol is for rural areas, outside repeater coverage. It hasn't been very effective because few people are actually listening. So try not to rely on 2-meter simplex as your only means of communication in a real emergency. More listeners need to be there for that to work. What about if we have a new operator that doesn't know what to do? It might be an emergency situation. New operators are reluctant to jump in and help because they're unsure what to do. So on slide 40, we talk about the emergency quick start. Within Arlington County, if you think there might be an emergency that would require RACES assistance, listen. The designated operations net, OPNET, on the simplex frequency is 146.43. Listen, is there an operations net in progress? And if there is, on slide 41 now, don't check directly into the operations net. Check into the logistics net, or log net, which is going to be on the Arlington repeater, the 146.625 repeater, if you are ready and available. That's what logistics is. It's to check what assets are available. And if you're ready and your equipment is ready, you're an available asset, so you can check into the log net and say you're ready to go. after checking in, wait until called for an assignment. So that's the purpose of the logistics net, is to be available to communicate that information without clogging up the operations net. And on slide 42, if there's no opnet going on, say you're a new ham, you think something might be up, you listen to the opnet frequency, there's nothing going on, but you believe that emergency communication may be needed, contact your radio officer or field team leader. Or if you don't get them, call up a net yourself. If you don't know how, we're going to talk about that in the coming training units. On slide 43, we talk about the functions of the operations net. OpNet is a directed net. That means it's under the control of the net control station. The use of tactical call signs is routine. You still have to give your actual FCC call sign every 10 minutes and so forth according to regulations, but instead of using that on an every transmission basis, you may be assigned Fire Station 2. So your tactical sign is Fire Station 2 with each transmission. The OpNet primary working frequency is usually simplex, the primary simplex, which currently is 146.43. So check in with net control, report safety or operation problems to net control, and follow his or her instructions. Sometimes this is called a tactical net by non-governmental organizations. The operations net, the main function is carrying traffic for served agencies to support their operations. It can be one of two things: either informal, real-time, tactical traffic for command, coordination, and control, or it may be formal written messages sent verbatim from a written form. Tactical communications could be, does vehicle 6166 have enough fuel to operate for a couple hours? Your person at Fire Station 2 can go and check and see if that vehicle's got enough fuel. You can call back. That's an informal tactical traffic. So that'll be logged as a line entry on your ICS 309 station log. On the other hand, if someone asks for an inventory of the equipment at your site and we want to give them a written message, there'll be a written form with a signature of the requesting official, a record communication. That'll be a formal message on the ICS form 213 sent either by voice or digital means. On slide 45, the logistics net or log net, again, is a directed net operated by under the control of net control. And the purpose of it is to reduce congestion on the primary frequency or the operations net. So the log net is where members go to listen, to find out what's going on, to check in, to show that they're available, and then to receive shift and task assignments. LogNet can also be an alternate frequency for stations to move off the operations net frequency to pass traffic if they can't do it on simplex. Since the LogNet is the Arlington repeater, in many cases they'll be able to use that to handle traffic if it's not crowded for other uses. On slide 46, we're just talking about the concepts for Arlington training. Arlington RACES training is specific to the National Capital Region. This is a unique situation. Arlington County is affected because disasters which may happen here may become events of national significance. We're right here in Northern Virginia, surrounded by Virginia, Maryland, DC, and our plans, our emergency plans, involve many federal agencies, including Department of Defense, Homeland Security, National Airport, and many other agencies. So the training which we've developed and we're continuing to work on includes specifics based on our local situation about how we will use the amateur radio resources. We have liaison with Homeland Security and other organizations so we can be prepared and respond if need be. Additional training for RACES in Arlington includes the Arlington RACES Net, which meets on Wednesdays at 2100, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on the 146.625 repeater. We have drills and exercises from time to time. Virginia RACES Incorporated has online materials, and we encourage our operators to take the FEMA independent study courses. So today's basic operator training is kind of a big picture overview. So we want you to be able to recognize what the objectives are and then to be preparing yourself to learn more in detail. Amateurs with a general license or above are encouraged to check in to the NTS section or region nets. the Mid-Atlantic Emergency Net on 60 meters or the ODEN on 75 meters. Technicians can check into the Northern Virginia Traffic Net nightly on the Bluemont Repeater, which is at 147.300 nightly at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. FEMA independent study courses are available free on the internet. There's a link to those on the W4AVA.org website. We encourage the IS-100 introduction, IS-700. There's a total of four courses that would be good for RACES operators to have. The next things coming up for the basic operator training, then Unit 2 will be operating procedures for voice nets. Then Unit 3 is message handling using the ICS-213 form. Unit 4 is personal preparedness and equipment recommendations. And Unit 5, RACES interfaces and functions, followed by a test. So we look forward to having you participate in those. Thanks for listening.